I'll just remind you once again, you're listening to KUCI in Irvine, and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 1. Now there's those that say this rat came out of the West, only survivor of a mine collapse that killed his family up in the Daihari Mountains. And there's those that say he came out of the East, had clawed and bitten his way to the top of the filthy rat warrens along the docks of Ngaishan, and was looking for fresh territory to conquer. But no one in my hearings ever said they know for sure where he came from, and all I'll say is, any story you hear about that rat before he showed up among the gypsy squirrels in 1714, well, I won't call it a lie, but you won't catch honest griots telling stories like that. Bartolomeo Paracas, Quatimundi Griot, Pashkawa, 1735. A second's hesitation, like an indrawn breath, Thesperch always said at practice, and Alphonse drove his claws down, the final chord of the festival closing march, bursting from the calliope pipes into the stillness of the summer midnight. He held it till his whiskers thrummed, till every hair on his bushy tail was vibrating, till the heat of the metal keys started creeping into his paws. Then he pulled away, the steam cutting off and letting the music fly, its echoes sailing away through the magnolia-scented darkness till it faded even to his pricked-up ears. A cheer behind him, and Alphonse turned, stared out over the sea of his fellow gypsy squirrels filling Peachtree Meadows, their paws raised, their eyes shining in the unflickering torchlight. He'd almost forgotten anyone was listening. Motion at the base of the calliope, and Grandmother rose from her seat, her priestess robe white and gold around her shoulders, her chant the familiar doxology that ended every summer festival. Light sleeper, Lord of laughter and love, grant your boons to those who ask. Bestow your smiles only, lest to shadowbane we have recourse. High ones all, look down and spread your gifts of life among your servants. The whole crowd gave a whoop, and that was it. Smiling, muttering, gently shaking awake kits who had fallen asleep, everyone headed for the caravan wagons down by the river, the three non-squirrels in their section off to his left, turning for the cypress trees and the path back to Waverside. A year of practice, 3 days and nights of constant playing and directing, and he'd done it, the youngest squirrel in gypsy history, Thesperch kept telling everyone, to lead the music for an entire festival. Except he'd missed something important. He could feel it, sharp as a bit of nutshell lodged in his gums. Exhausted as he was, he ran through the festival program in his head. Had he left out part of a prayer service, a bit of a feast song, some piece of the closing ceremony?
Ah, Alphonse.
A voice beside him, and he snapped his head up to see Thesperch himself, pride and absolute scent around the old calliope master.
You were magnificent.
And of course he was.
Grandmother stumped up the steps, the meadow already deserted, except for the acolytes dousing the torches and cleaning up after the crowd.
"And now that this tree rat has disturbed your meditations..."
She aimed one of her phony glares at Thesperch and put a paw on Alphonse's shoulder.
"Oh, let me say how proud we are of you."
"No,"
Alphonse heard himself whisper, and when Grandmother's ears went down, he tried to gather his thoughts.
"I mean, I didn't finish right. I'm not done yet."
He looked over at Thesperch.
"Am I?"
"Yes, Alphonse, you are, and superbly done at that."
Thesperch smiled.
"But I know what you mean. After my first solo festival, I couldn't walk or see straight for 4 days. What you need is..."
"No!"
Alphonse couldn't help shouting. He leaped up, had to steady himself with a quick grab at the console, spots popping and spinning before his eyes.
"I messed up! I still have to...
He lurched away, the jabbing emptiness inside him so awful he couldn't stand still.
"I've got to fix it! Got a grandson!"
Paws grabbed him, shook him, Grandmother's voice as hard as a slap across his snout, and the spots cleared to show him her dark eyes peering closely into his.
"Some high ones swirling about you."
"What?"
Thesperch came into view behind Grandmother, his tail fluffed up over his head.
"Surely..."
A swallow bulged the gray fur of his neck, and he made a warding sign with his claws.
"Surely Light Sleeper hasn't come among us."
Grandmother let go and stepped back, Alphonse having to settle back onto his haunches to keep from falling over.
"Not Light Sleeper, and not Shadowbane either. If she's looking for you, she'll appear in a blaze of glory and tell you. The others aren't nearly as direct, though."
She shrugged. Alphonse caught his breath, the pull to get moving, still strong in his chest.
"But why would a high one call me?"
Sighing, Grandmother waved a paw at the steps down from the calliope.
"There's only one way to find out."
His paws scurried forward, almost without him having to think about it, but he stopped himself, looked back at her. She was smiling, her eyes wavering.
"Just remember, grandson,"
she said quietly.
"When the high ones want you, they'll find you, no matter where you go. So just go on out there, and you'll do fine."
Thesperch nodded, and Alphonse swallowed, giving his black vest a tug and straightening the gray and burgundy-checked bandana between his ears. He sprang onto the ground, across the short grass and into the hickory trees that formed the northern edge of the meadow, the stars through the leaves more like fireflies hovering just out of reach. The trees closed in behind him, but at least Night's Eye was shining a half-moon almost directly overhead. Maybe she was the one waiting for him. That wouldn't be bad. She was always nice in Grandmother's stories. Or maybe Cloud Leaper, though the night was too clear for her, he supposed. He scampered his way north through the tree roots, no idea where he was going, until a sound made him stretch his ears open, a tiny rustling high up in the trees, though there hadn't been a breath of wind all night. So it could be Wind Whisper who was waiting. He didn't appear in many stories, but the rustling got louder, seemed to come closer, and Alphonse stopped as the ground started to shake. An earthquake? He'd been through a couple when the caravan traveled out west, but here? The shaking grew more violent with each passing second, and he was huddling down, glad he was out in the woods where nothing could really fall on him, when, with a crash like a landslide, something tore out of the ground ahead, molten rock fountaining all fire red and ash black up over his head to smash into the trees, cracking and falling in a perfect circle around the pit of lava that yawned open, a sudden sulfurous stink plastering Alphonse's face. Then everything froze, Alphonse blinking to clear his eyes, and a lumpy mass of darkness began rising from the pit, its vast golden eyes swinging around to fix on Alphonse. The silence went on and on until a voice spoke, soft and rough as a step into sandy soil.
"I reckon you know who I am, son."
Alphonse could only nod. A claw, bigger than Alphonse's whole body, caught the red glow and gestured into the trees.
"Just north of here is a little stream with a rat kit lying on the bank and squalling so loud you'll hear him a quarter mile off."
The darkness shifted, silver-gray plates clacking and sparking through it.
You bring him home and raise him up.
Ice shot through Alphonse's tail, up his spine, tried to freeze his tongue, but he forced it to move.
A baby rat, Highness? I don't...
Don't Highness me.
That huge claw leveled at him.
And this ain't a request. You're nearest as the crow flies, so get moving.
A sigh like steam from a geyser.
I ain't that good at climbing out into your time like this, so it could have been a while since I seen him. But you find him alive or dead, and I'll see you get back to your folks.
The rumble began again.
I swear to my grandma, I gotta practice coming up more.
The dark mass slipped into the lava like a stone into a pond, the ground pulling closed, and the earth bucked, waves rolling in the dirt. Sloshing over Alphonse, they tumbled him backwards, smacked him hard, both head and tail, and he curled into a ball, crying out as everything went still, his own panting the only sound. Leaping up, he saw no sign of the pit, the trees standing in place, not so much as a broken twig in the undergrowth. He stared, then swallowed. Earth Mover. That had definitely been Earth Mover. And he'd given Alphonse a task from the High Ones themselves. Blinking, he looked up, found the Pole Star among the sudden, smoky clouds that covered the sky, and took off into the woods. North, Earth Mover had said. The trees seemed to flow past, the night warm and fuzzy around the edges like he was dreaming. But he knew he hadn't dreamed the High One, could still feel the grit of his voice, could smell the damp earth of his presence. His running wasn't a dream either. More than once he had to scramble up a cypress and take another sighting to stay heading north. And about half an hour after meeting the High One, he finally heard a trickling. Hackles rising, he upped his pace between the gnarled roots. Earth Mover had said to listen for the baby, but all Alphonse could hear was the stream. He scurried out of the trees into a narrow clearing, the scent and sound of flowing water directly ahead, Night's Eye's moon glowing gray and muted through those strange clouds. Stopping, panting, he looked upstream, downstream, upstream again, till his eyes met a heap of hickory leaves lying close to the water's edge. A quick prayer to Shadowbane, and Alphonse crept toward the heap, his tail jittering with each step. Surely the High One wouldn't have done all this if the baby was... Closer, and Alphonse could make out rounded ears and the back of a furry head sticking out from one side of the heap, dark in the gray light. Paw shaking, he reached over, touched the neck, felt warmth there, and the pile exploded, leaves flying, claws digging into him, a squeaky voice shrieking words Alphonse didn't recognize. The attack knocked him backwards, a weight slamming onto his chest, a good-sized male rat kit clinging to his arm and shouting in Manx, Alphonse suddenly realized, a language used by folks who traveled the rivers, mice and otters and such. Alphonse didn't speak Manx that well, but he said as loudly and clearly as he could, "Come, rat child, I am come to help you, to help you. You hear me at all, yes?" He tried to touch the rat's neck, but the kit sprang back, his claws out. "Get away!" he shouted, along with other things Alphonse didn't understand, until his voice became mostly sobs. He didn't lower his guard, though, his eyes hard on Alphonse, even as tears trickled down his whiskers. Not a baby, certainly. The kid at least 4 years old, Alphonse figured.
I mean you no hurt, he said, not sure if that was the right word. You are lost, yes?
The kit stayed half-crouched, fear a solid wall around him. Alphonse settled back into the muddy dirt.
"I heard a High One," he went on. "He said I should to help you. You hear me at all? He said I should to help you."
For another moment, nothing. Then the kit shivered from the tip of his tail to the point of his snout.
"Help me,"
he whispered, his knees buckling, his paws covering his eyes.
"Please, please."
Alphonse rushed forward, took the kit, his wet face pressing into Alphonse's shoulder.
"It'll be all right,"
Alphonse murmured, not sure if the kit understood Shurid, but not able to find the words in his mangled Manx.
Just hang on.
The The rat shaking and clinging to him, he struggled up and started off in what he hoped was the right direction to get them both back to the caravan. For some time he staggered on, trying to track his own scent through the woods, but he was so tired.
"Earth Mover, please," he panted out. "Guide me home. Please guide me."
Another step, and he tripped. Spinning, he managed to fall onto his tail instead of onto the kit, the thick maple scent from the roots around him. Maple? Alphonse took a breath, the smell unmistakable, opened his eyes, looked up, and the leaves of the tree he'd just collapsed against, shining bright in the afternoon light, were definitely shaped like... afternoon? Sitting as well as he could, with the rat kit still quivering across his chest, he blinked at the full summer sunlight around him, the trees, those of the forests far to the north of Peachtree Meadows. Where was he? How had he gotten here? What,
Alphonse?
A whispered voice to his left, and he looked over to see Grandmother stepping out from between some pines, her eyes wide and her tail jittering.
"Oh, Alphonse, Shadowbane be praised!"
She rushed toward him.
"We looked for you everywhere, but the caravan had to move on. Shadowbane swore you'd come back to us, but it's been 2 months, and when she told me you'd be here, I almost didn't believe her."
The rat kit stirred in Alphonse's arms, raised his head, and Grandmother skidded to a stop.
"Alphonse? What? The High Ones?"
Alphonse didn't even try to organize his thoughts.
"Earth Mover came and told me to save this kit."
Grandmother blinked.
"What?"
she asked after a moment.
"Earth Mover!"
He struggled till he was standing, his tail snapping behind him like a flag in a storm.
"He told me I have to raise this...
He held the kit up, fatigue taking the words from him. The rat blinked, bleary-eyed at Grandmother, and started to wail, a high-pitched shriek that made Alphonse's ears squeeze shut. Raising.
Rat jumped higher, squirrels just stood. Rat skipped choir, no squirrel could. Rat brings fire, squirrels bring wood. Rat's a liar, squirrels do good.
Rope jumping rhyme, Flat Rock Township, 1720. Banners streamed like rainbows from poles and tents and lines stretched over the meadow, the whole caravan bustling to get the autumn festival set up. Rat looked out between the calliope pipes and took deep whiffs of the spicy scents.
"Down!"
a voice shouted in Manx, and Rat peered over the edge of the calliope, Master Thespert shaking a fist at him. Rolling his eyes, Rat turned and gazed out at the banners again. If the old grump wanted to climb up and try to... Alphonse's familiar sigh brought Rat's eyes back down, Master Thespert whirling on the younger squirrel and launching into a string of high shurid that Rat could only make out a few words of. Responsibility. Ratayo, what the squirrels called him. Karakchik, what they'd started calling Alphonse more and more lately. And something about learning to behave. Or was it teaching to behave? Rat wasn't sure. Alphonse took it in silence, ears tight against his head, till Master Thespert spun and stomped away toward his wagon behind the calliopes. Stomach clenched, Rat clambered down, touched Alphonse's gray and burgundy checked vest.
"Forgiveness?"
he asked, one of the first shurid words he'd learned. With another sigh, Alphonse reached out and scratched behind Rat's ear.
"Always, Ratayo,"
he said in Manx.
"But next time you climb the calliope pipes, Master Thespert says he wads you up and throws you into the steam fire, yes?"
"Well, he'd have to catch me first,"
Rat muttered. But when Alphonse just blinked, he switched to shurid.
"The festival view is best from there. The colors, the scents, it is so..."
He tried to say beautiful, but as usual his tongue got in the way of his teeth, making him cringe with sudden pain.
"I know what you mean,"
Alphonse said, his voice so much gentler when he spoke shurid. But then he went on in Manx.
"Your first festival as one of age."
Rat looked away.
"If of age I am."
He had a few memories from before he'd come to live with the squirrels. A room smelling of hickory, warm embraces in soft gray fur, smooth voices speaking Manx. but they were all so sketchy, he sometimes wondered if he'd maybe just made them up. But he couldn't deny the nightmares of fire and smoke and rushing water that woke him shrieking still, though not as often as they used to. And he knew that he'd had a name once, not that he had any idea what it was. A paw on his shoulder, and he looked up into Alphonse's concerned face.
Memories return?
Rat shook his head, forced a smile, picked words that weren't so hard on his mouth.
But you had best to get ready to play to open the festival?
Alphonse patted the calliope and sighed.
Master says maybe I not fit to play. Too much distraction I have. What?
Rat stared.
No, he not can be.
Going for serious, Rat chomped his lip and had to gasp, blood, a sharp metallic tang over his tongue. The squirrel touched his snout.
We talk Manx words, Ratayo. Them you can speak, yes? No!
Rat swallowed, searched for things he could say without biting himself.
Unfair! I make trouble. I to punish he should, not you. You too good not to play today.
A smile, and Alphonse bowed.
But come, we go back to home now, yes? I get ready in case Master finds his reasons become the same as yours.
He nudged Rat toward the rest of the camp, and Rat started off, Alphonse beside him.
But first, some lunch we get, I think.
That brightened Rat's spirits, and they moved away from the calliopes onto the festival's midway, the scents of pasta and stir-fry making his stomach rumble. Squirrels rushed everywhere, and Rat could see mice, otters, birds, and other folks from Ottersgate, the town across the river, setting up their own booths down by the water's edge. Much to Rat's delight, Alphonse headed straight for the Chuncharty's falafel stand. Peering over the counter, Rat let the wonderful garlic scent curl his whiskers. Then Priscilla Chuncharty was coming over.
Alphonse?
She said, her voice as sweet as her singing, even when she was just talking. Her smile sharpened a little.
Still got that bunion, I see.
Rat blinked, sure he'd misunderstood her. Alphonse cleared his throat, and Miss Chuncharty laughed, patted Rat between the ears.
And how are you today, you rat, you?
She asked, carefully enunciating each shored word.
Fine.
Rat shrugged.
But no bunion on Alphonse,
he gestured to the squirrel.
None I see. Really?
Miss Chuncharty clasped her paws.
Well, try looking harder. Or maybe a mirror. That might work. Mirror?
That's what she'd said, but it didn't make any sense. Unless... Rat looked down.
Bunion on me?
Miss Chuncharty laughed even more, Rat looking up to see Alphonse's ears folding.
Maybe you can bring us some falafel, Priscilla?
He said, his shored harder than usual in Rat's ear.
When you got done taunting the kit, of course.
A flick of her tail, and Miss Chuncharty's smile went away.
You're such a stick, Alphonse.
She called back into the booth.
Hey, Pa, we got anything for the son of the high ones? A batch that fell on the floor or something?
That rat?
Master Chuncharty turned from the stove.
I'm surprised he doesn't just sneak in and take it.
Rat tried to shrink down, Alphonse saying,
He's apologized for that, Master Chuncharty. He didn't know...
Tell me another one, Karakchik.
The older squirrel snorted and wiped his paws on his stained apron.
And I'm sure all the chickpeas I've lost since that rat came to this caravan have just rolled away.
Alphonse and Master Chuncharty exchanged some shored then that was too high for Rat even to hear. Alphonse curled his lip, put a paw on Rat's shoulder, and said in Manx,
Come, Ratayo, the chickpeas, they smell sour to me today.
They smelled fine to Rat, but he turned away from the booth and tried not to listen to the voices behind him, words he knew too well, thief and rotten and bad influence. Instead, he focused on Alphonse, saying,
We get home, we get lunch. Nona should have something, yes?
The squirrel smiled over his shoulder, and Rat nodded. Through the festival grounds they went, past the fortune-teller's booths, and back toward Nona's wagon, off by itself at the edge of the meadow in the shadow of a huge oak tree. Squirrels were working here as much as on the midway, though, stringing gray and burgundy flags and putting the clabbered sides of the shrine up. Nona knelt in the grass, her eyes closed, colored sand trickling from her paws into the mandala pattern she always made for each of the high ones. Of the five she'd done so far, Rat recognized the black and silver of Night's Eye, the swirled red and gold shapes of Soft Silence, the patron of the Autumn Festival, and, of course, the rainbow collage dedicated to Shadowbane. She was just finishing the sixth, Earth Mover's warm brown tones seeming to rise right out of the ground. That one was Rat's favorite. After all, Earth Mover had saved his life. One last paw full of sand, and Nona opened her eyes, stood, brushed her claws, and said in Manx,
"Son of my son and our Ratayo, you come to help the old lady, yes?"
Rat smiled and bowed to her.
"You not old, Nona,"
he said, as well as his tongue could.
"Master Thesbridge, he old. Chonchardy family, they all old. You never be old."
She snorted.
"Flatterer,"
she said in short.
"Though you're right, of course."
She rubbed his ears.
"Now, let's get some lunch. And you need to get changed, grandson. Thesbridge will have fits if you're not ready at least 4 hours before the ceremony."
A sigh from Alphonse.
"If I'm even playing."
"What?"
Nona's paw froze on Rat's head.
"Why wouldn't you be? You..."
Her voice stopped, and Rat looked up to see her looking back.
"What you do, Ratayo?"
she asked in Manx. Rat stepped away, waved his arms, found words he could say.
"Yes, I climbed the Calliope so to see all the festival, but I always careful. Alphonse not can play pipes if I hurt them, so I climb soft. I know how. I not stupid."
An arm slipped around his shoulders, Alphonse smiling at him.
"No worry, Ratayo,"
he said in Manx.
"What you do today does not matter for this."
He looked at Nona and went on in Shored.
"Master Thesbridge says I'm not paying enough attention to my studies. He says I'm good enough to open the festival, but not disciplined enough."
Nona's frown made Rat shiver.
"That old tree rat."
Alphonse's voice tightened.
"Grandmother, though our rat knows what I mean."
She cracked a knuckle, poked Rat's shoulder, and said in Manx,
"The High Ones send us you, Ratayo, and not for no reason. A destiny you have, and with patience, we all to learn of it, yes?"
She shifted the sacks of colored sand on her shoulders and started for the wagon, her shured smooth in Rat's ears.
"Well, let's eat. I've still got 6 more paintings to do before the opening."
Inside, Rat climbed into his chair to be out of the way as Nona fried nut meats and Alphonse sliced bread in the tiny kitchen area, the scents getting him all warm and hungry. Alphonse carried the plates out, set them on the table, and Nona said Rat's favorite prayer of thanks to the High Ones, the one that clicked and swayed like a wagon rolling along a path deep in the woods. The meal went quickly, the two squirrels scarfing their nut meats down, Nona getting back out to her sand paintings, Alphonse heading to his room, where Rat soon heard the tinny plinks of his little practice clavichord. Rat took his time, pretending the nuts were falafel balls, but even though Nona had used garlic oil, they just weren't the same. How many more times would he need to apologize to Master Chinchardi? The way they'd had those chickpeas piled up outside their wagon, Rat had thought they were throwing them away. He made sure the stuff he collected now was really garbage, but that didn't stop the complaints. And Master Thesbridge let the other kits climb on the calliopes all the time. Rat sighed, took his plate into the kitchen, and washed it off. He was the only non-squirrel in the whole caravan. Even babies could talk better than he could. The bigger kits kept trying to beat him up, then ran to their parents crying that Rat had started it when he swept the dirt with their sorry tails. Folks always watched him out of the corners of their eyes, and no matter what he did, the whispers... A knock interrupted him. Padding through the front room, he pulled the door open to see Sophia Jickerts, another of Master Thesbirch's students. The squirrel took a step back, her tail jittering.
Is Alphonse here?
Rat gestured back into the wagon.
Alphonse practices. If you wait, I can to get...
Miss Jickerts held up a pot.
No, I...
She swallowed.
Thesbridge just told me I'd be opening the festival today. I thought Alphonse should know.
Another step back.
I've got to go get ready, but I thought...
She shrugged, turned, and scurried away toward the festival grounds. Rat could only stare at the retreating squirrel.
Master Thesbridge had chosen her?
But she wasn't half the player Alphonse was. Everyone knew it.
And to go with second best at a festival honoring the High Ones? It wasn't right. And it wasn't fair. And it was all Rat's fault. Down the steps he jumped and hit the ground running, weaving between the fortune-teller's wagons. If he apologized extra hard to Master Thesperch, promised to clean the Calliopes every day for a month, for 2 months even, maybe he could get Master Thesperch to change his mind. Or if he... Rushing out onto the midway, dodging around a pair of otters, Rat slammed right into an old mouse, knocked him clean over backwards, the mouse's hat flying off. "Sorry!" Rat scrambled after the hat, thrust it toward the mouse, turned to run off, but claws grabbed him.
"Whoa there, youngster!"
The mouse's grip was surprisingly strong, his fur gray, but his eyes sharp and bright.
"You helped me down. Least you could do is help me up. After all, it's one thing to be in a hurry, but to be a hazard to navigation, that's something else entirely. A little foresight never hurt anybody."
Rat didn't know what to say. The words, so precise, it took him a minute to understand them. After listening to the squirrels for so long, he'd almost forgotten Manx could sound that way. But with the mouse still holding him, Rat had no choice but to stand there while the mouse took the hat in his other paw, blew dust off it, and settled it between his ears.
"There,"
the mouse said, adjusting the hat's brim.
"Now, you ready to proceed with more care?"
"Yes, sir, and I'm sorry again, sir."
Rat was quivering, trying to will the old mouse to let him go.
"Very good."
The claws came loose, and Rat sprang off. Darkling Eclectic Presents has brought you Part 1 of Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. The narration and music were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectic Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine. Thank you.